This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
What's up, Hooligans? This is Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
After 12 o'clock, big night tonight. The Colorado Avalanche getting back at it. First regular season game, and you can hear that right here on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Coverage starts at 8 o'clock. I believe the game's going to be probably a little after 8:30. Mike Brohard, are you going to be staying up for a late night Colorado Avalanche game?
I'm watching baseball playoffs right now, bud.
Yeah, that's right. You're more of the baseball guy. Baseball, is that number one for you, your number one sport as a fan?
Yeah.
By far and away?
Yeah.
Okay. What's number two?
I thought we had that established.
Well, I forgot. What's number two?
College football.
Okay. All right, there we go. Mike Brohard joining us. I know Jay Norvell just spoke to you guys in the press conference today. Got the Fresno State game coming up Friday night. What were some of your takeaways from that press conference? Obviously, it's a tough spot for this football program.
Yeah, I think he came out and he stated the obvious. I mean, this was a team that they had a vision for, and a lot of those key pieces are now gone. So they, as a coaching staff, need to find who they are as a team and move forward and find out what that team can do, as opposed to the team that had a Jackson Warren on the field, that had Tanner Morley on the field, that had McKendie Wakalanji on the field, you know, that had, you know, Gabe Jones on the field. There's just been some changes, and they're still in the process of kind of adjusting to what all that means.
What can you tell us about, like, Jackson? You mentioned Tanner Morley and Jackson Warren specifically. Like, how bad are those injuries, Mike, or can you tell us?
Tanner's out for the year. I think they've already said that. Jackson, they're still hopeful at some point in time he could come back, but it won't be this week. And then you look at what – I think we all know what a really good tight end can do in this offense when you go back and you look at what Dallin Holker did. And then you go and you see what Jackson Warren meant to that offense the first week against Washington, and you haven't had it since then. There's an adjustment price. Now, Rocky Beers is playing really well, and he's been playing dinged up, but he's not the same type of threat as Jackson was. It's not a knock on Rocky. It's who he is, and he's really good at who he is. But they have to use them differently, correct?
Yeah. Well, and like you said, there's going to be a lot of kind of going back to the drawing board to see what you can do. I mean, that is the brass tacks of this. It's a bad season, and I know a lot of fans are talking. We're talking, yes, but there have been some significant injuries for this team. It is kind of like if a bad thing can happen, it's going to. This is one of those seasons right now. How do you see, like, Fresno State Friday night? You find a way to win that game, Mike. I mean, sometimes it just takes one, and you win that game. You get confidence. You change a narrative. You change the rhetoric. That could be huge. How do you see that happening? You know, if it's going to happen, it would be great to see it Friday night.
You see it happening with Jackson Brousseau and that offense fitting more Jackson Brousseau, or Jackson Brousseau and the receivers connecting even more, right? Because the running game has been good. San Diego State leads the conference in rush defense. Fresno State's number two. Jalen Dupree had a 100-yard game against San Diego State. So you've got a run game. You need to be more consistent on offense. They showed spurts of that. Their two longest drives of the year came against San Diego State, 14 and 15 plays. That takes consistency. That takes execution to do those things. But going back to, like, your earlier point before you asked me that question, like, the one area that they really want to improve is penalties, right? They've had a lot of penalties. They only had one penalty last week, right? That's great. But what did the one penalty take away? A turnover.
Yeah.
And it led to a scoring drive. So this has got to be a team that finds a spark, finds a way, because once you do that, you find a way to get over those little obstacles that are going to happen in every game. You don't let them build up. You put them in the rearview mirror and you move on. That's what the team's kind of looking for. They still feel like there are talented players that can hit explosive plays. They still feel that they can extend a drive and convert on third down. They still feel like they've got a defensive scheme that can create some chaos. It just hasn't produced any turnovers the last couple of weeks. They haven't sacked a quarterback in a while. They're just, when we talk about explosive plays on offense and the few that Colorado State has had, it's the same on defense. You need explosives, and those are creating turnovers. It's tackles for loss. They only had one tackle for loss last game, and they haven't created a turnover in 2 weeks. Those are things that are sparks that change a team's momentum.
Yeah, and speaking of that, I really thought, Mike, that when that flea flicker play call, two great runs right before that, yeah. I felt it, you know, it was obviously wrong, but at that moment, I'm like, screw it, screw all the noise, everything. They're going to do something in this game, and obviously that didn't pan out, but you need a few more. You need a few more of those big game-changing plays, and like you said, we just haven't seen it on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, and even in the third phase, I mean, you're looking for a big return, or you're looking to create a turnover in special teams. Those are things that teams need that help them get over the hump. They can hide things, right? I mean, if you're getting turnovers, that helps. That helps you deal with the fact that you're playing without two starters on the defensive line, four defensive linemen injured overall, right? Those are the things that help. You find it in other ways, and so that's what they're looking for.
Mike Brohard joining us, CSURams.com. What's the vibe like? You know, you're around these players all the time. You're around these coaches. You're getting conversations that maybe you're not even, you know, going all into and writing about. You're around this program, and you said the coaching staff says there's still guys on this roster that they believe in. They can really help turn this thing around. What's that sense like around the players, Mike?
I won't name names, but I talked to two players. Just off the side, not even for interviews, the other day. They're stunned. They think they are a better team, and they're wondering why they haven't gotten that spark, why they haven't found that thing that's going to make them click, because they believe it's all there. So I don't think the players are giving up hope at all. I know the coaching staff hasn't. And you look back to last year, they stumbled in non-conference, right? They were 2-3. Nobody was really happy after the Oregon State game. You come back for a home game against the San Jose State team that was playing pretty good, that was favored against you. You found a way to win, and you won five straight. That changed the dynamic of the season. That's what they're looking to have happen, and they hope it happens this Friday night against Fresno. Right?
Yeah.
Fresno's won five straight. They've obviously found a spark. They've got something that's working for them. But defensively, they played really well, and they are physical. But offensively, they're not lighting up the place, right? They beat Nevada 20-17 last week, and that was a defense that gave them four turnovers in the first half, and that was the final score. Nevada was coming back, right? So it's a team, and they're playing on a short week too, right? They played on Saturday. They've got to travel to play on a Friday. You look for anything that you can, and you hope you can turn it into an advantage when you're in a team that's in the position that Colorado State is right now.
Yeah, big one Friday night for sure. Going up, we had this earlier, but going up against another son of a great quarterback, we got EJ Warner for Fresno State. You know, it makes me feel old, Mike. It makes all of us feel old. But seeing these dudes, it didn't seem like that long ago we were seeing Kurt Warner play, but now we're seeing his kiddo out there play for Fresno State.
Yeah, the kid's solid. I mean, yeah. He's in completion percentage. I think he's hitting at a 72% clip. Seven touchdowns, six interceptions. They haven't thrown for a ton of yards, but he's been consistent with what they're asking him to do.
Well, and you know, on Fresno State's side, yeah, they're 2-0. You mentioned the wins too; they're 5-1 on the season. But it still feels like at this stage, and that's the saving grace today, I think, still for CSU, is that the Mountain West. It felt kind of not wide open last year. You obviously knew who the front runner was with Boise State, but it certainly feels more wide open now than ever. So there's still opportunities there. I mean, you might have, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, but you could still have that second team get into the Mountain West Championship with two or three losses in the conference.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how this plays out, because I don't know that there's that one dominant team. You know, like, I think everybody looks beatable in some fashion or another if you catch them on the right day, if you play the right way. And that's what Colorado State's trying to get to, is that at least, even with who they're out, if they can play with discipline and they can play with effort, that's a big first step. And if you can do that consistently, then you can cover up for some of these injuries that you're having to deal with right now. You can find ways to get guys the ball where hopefully you can create some explosives to where you can pick up some third downs, or to where you get a turnover or you get a stop on third down. Those things, they can still be happening. They can still take place. But it's got to start with effort, and it's got to start with discipline.
Mike Brohard joining us, CSURams.com. Mike, what are you working on that we can check out throughout the week here on CSURams.com?
I did talk to Armani Winfield just about kind of what the receivers are seeing. I talked to Jalen Dupree. The impressive thing to me was, as well as he's been playing, he could care less. He just wants to win games, and that's the type of attitude that you kind of need to see on a team that's in this position right now. I'll highlight a story that wasn't mine. Liv Sewell did a really nice story today. My intern on our setter, redshirt freshman setter, has never run a 5-1 offense before, but she's getting better and doing great, and Aaron DeBeck. So maybe your folks can read that one.
Yeah, man. Well, I mean, that volleyball team. Yeah, absolutely. Mike, always appreciate it, man. How do you feel about Friday night games? I love Friday night games. It works out perfectly for me. How do you feel?
I'm okay with Friday night games. I prefer Thursday night games, to be honest with you. It's probably all those years the newspapers covering Friday night football games.
Yeah.
I thought Friday nights were reserved for the high schools. But TV pays the bills, does it not?
Yeah, well, and for my situation, like, you know, Friday night, you know, I like the night games more. And if it's Friday night, Saturday night, whatever, it works out. And I'm selfish that way, Mike.
That's fine. You should be selfish. Everybody should be selfish.
Mike, always appreciate it, man. And we'll look to catch up with you next week.
All right. Take care, bud.
Mike Brohard, CSURams.com. I just saw this. A good friend of mine, good friend of the show's, Mike Rowe, a.k.a. Chorizo. He's a diehard Rams fan. He's filled in before, Mike and Joel Cantalamessa filled in from RamNation.com. They filled in on this show. They did fantastic. You probably don't remember because you barely remember yesterday. Is that fair to say?
I'm sorry, who are you?
Yeah. I'm going to read his tweet. And this is a guy, they run a fan website that I get on and post stuff and all that. And this is where Rams fans, not just on X, it's just for Rams fans. They run this. They do a podcast. They talk to, they sit down with the athletic director quite a bit. They sit down with players and coaches, big Rams guys. Mike tweeted this: with the product on the field being what it is, and this is a diehard fan, okay, there will be no RamNation.com podcast this week. Bigger news, there will be no tailgate either. For those who usually stop by, my wife and I and Keith and his wife will not be in attendance Friday night. I mean, you know, when you hear that, you might not know, but I'm on the socials and I'm around a lot of these Rams people. And I've gone to events that Mike and Joel have put on. That's what you don't want to see today. And I'm not saying Mike's wrong for it. I mean, you spend your money, you buy your tickets. And I heard Lytle say that again today, like, hey, you've already paid for your season tickets. Yeah, but there's a lot more money that goes into tailgating, spending your day out there, going into the stadium, buying beverages, buying food. That's a lot of where the money comes from. When you get big fans like that, throwing out that kind of a tweet that's like, hey, not only are we not going to put a podcast together, we're not going to be out there doing our regular tailgate thing. And he's citing with the state of what's going on with CSU football.
So these guys aren't 17-0 and 0-17 type of guys.
No.
Like me.
Mm-mm.
They are basically, they are diehards saying we don't like what's going on and we're not going to continue until...
Yeah.
We get a better product.
Well, and he's still probably watching the games, but
probably on TV.
But that's like people think, and I know this, Mike. I grew up. We didn't go on family vacations a lot. You know what we did? We went to games. I was in Eastern Colorado. It was about a four-hour drive to get to Denver. We went to games. That was an entire day for us. It was the gas to get there. Go to Broncos games. Go to Nuggets games. Go to college football games. The gas to get there. The lunch. You know, getting in there.
The nachos.
The nachos. The hot dogs. The beverages.
The fan store.
You got to buy something.
Absolutely.
My dad was always, but I'd beg and beg and beg, and then he surprised me, and we'd get something. That's an investment. That's not just the ticket that you purchased. That is an investment that some people spend all year trying to make up and budget for. Okay, we're going to go to five CSU Rams games. You account for the ticket sales or the ticket costs. The tailgating experience, everything. If you're really going to fan out, and sometimes people just go to the game, and that's it, and that's fine too. But there are the diehards that this is what makes college football roll, is the ones that help create the tailgating experience. And that's what they want there at Canvas. You know, when I was there doing I did a pregame show with my guy, Mike Sanford, before the Rocky Mountain Showdown last year. It was electric. Now, they're not going to be able to do that right now. Even close to that kind of experience every single week. But that's the plan. That's what you want. And when you start seeing those kind of guys that are legends amongst the fan base, that's a big one. It's not nothing. Go ahead, Mike.
Rocky Mountain Showdown, is it maybe a good thing that they didn't have it this year? I mean,
yeah, they would have. That would have been in Boulder, though, but...
I mean, the loss could have been so bad.
Yeah, I do think CU is a much better team than CSU.
CU's not great.
They're not great, but they at least compete.
They're competing, but they hurt themselves.
I do think a lot of the outcry amongst Buffs fans is crazy because they're in these games against teams that are better than them. They're getting opportunities to win. It's just they're not there. They don't have the same quarterback. They don't have the same. I'm watching Travis Hunter. He only had three catches for 64 yards. They don't have that kind of dude. They had that kind of dude for 2 years. Well, a year and a half because he got hurt. It is an adjustment. But, yeah, I think CU boat races Colorado State this year if they played.
So maybe... it was a good thing that they didn't have that game. And maybe, I don't know when it's, is it 2028 that they're starting it back up?
Yeah, I think so. I think you're right.
Maybe it's just good that they have a little bit of time off.
I'm just reading like from some of these comments, and these are guys that if you are on X and you interact with Rams fans, you got one, the Ram U, and I know he listens. Shout out to you, my friend. Yeah, we're not tailgating either. We're going to grab dinner locally and then go to the game, but we're not going to set everything up to sit by myself for 6 hours before game time.
So no one's tailgating.
I don't know, man. Yeah. I mean, these are the kind of things that, you know, we talk about the Rockies all the time. And how if you're not a fan of the product, you just stop going to the game. Nothing changes if they're going to make the same amount of money that they're going to make, whether they win 100 or lose 100. If they win 100, they're making way more, but they're not necessarily losing a ton because people are still going to the games. These are the kind of fans that are able to speak with their wallets, and I'm not advocating for it one way or the other, but that's the way this thing goes. Because you want it to be an event, and you're going to go to games and celebrate and have fun, and you're going to walk away from a loss. That's going to happen. But when you're just getting it all the time, that's tough. 12:41 the time. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash. Michael, we'll do that right now.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one, member FDIC.